dinner today. And I went crazy at the hot bar.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like a hot wing bar?
Well, they have, like, you know, they have that hot bar at Whole Foods. There's like a Whole Foods on the street from where I work because of gentrification. And I was able to get like Chinese barbecue chicken wings, lamb stew, and shepherd's pie.
Oh, God, lamb stew.
Lamb stew was delicious, but I could have just gotten lamb stew.
But you didn't.
Oh, they got pineapple now? Okay, this shit is, that's new.
Pineapple, what's pineapple? Ooh, pineapple sounds good. I'm so full.
You need to stop eating. You're full. Stop.
I'm full. For some reason, I had like a key lime tart for dessert, but it was too sweet, and so I needed salt. And so I had popcorn.
That's not how it works.
That's not at all.
Anyway, to end this story, I have so many regrets. I'm so full. I had to walk away from my kitchen. I don't even have real groceries.
You just got like hot.
I'm gonna make a fancy salad because I bought my fancy cheese.
Okay, I think we.
But I was too full.
It's almost 9. So.
All right, are you ready? Is everybody ready?
Hello.
Yep, external recording is on.
Alrighty. Where's my shit? Oh, there it goes. All right.
Hello. Well, there you go.
We shall. Me? Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm good.
We shall go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
5 geeks, 5 opinions, 1 podcast, Nerdgas and Noir Network, where we do nerd shit.
Hello, and welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee, and I'm here with JP and Melissa, and today we're here to talk about nerd shit. How are you ladies doing?
Woo! Today is...
I am well.
Wow. So, I just put all that enthusiasm, and you just...
I'm proud of you, JP. Melissa can talk it.
I mean, you know what, though? I'll be honest. I didn't realize that you were going to come in with that much hype. We did not coordinate, and so...
And then she's gonna still wouldn't have matched your height. Wow, Melissa. I know.
Well, we could just redo that. Yay!
Anyway, we're gonna start off like we usually start off and say thank you for listening to our audience members. We very much appreciate you. If you want to find out how to get other people to listen, how to donate to us money, how to donate to us your Twitter account, how to send us an email, how to send us a voicemail. You can find all of that information on nerdgasmnoir.net. There's a sidebar on the right-hand side that will give you all the information on how to contact us if you need to, if it would please you, go to nerdgasmnoir.net. So did we have any feedback on the last show, JP?
Yes, we had feedback. From Twitter. So, our first bit of feedback is from Inda Lauren. Re-listening to last night, Nergas Noir, and just realizing that you meant Magnitude from Community when calling him Pop Pop.
Yeah, we don't know names of people.
No.
We just call them by the things that we either call them by their real name, the name they did in one show from a long time ago that we remember, or their catchphrase. And so Magnitude is Pop Pop. Actually, can I take a time out? Hold on a second.
What?
Time out. Can we talk about how the two little brown boys from Harry Potter are in more shows that I recognize them in than like the three main characters from Harry Potter? Like, Ron's not doing anything. Hermione's out there being Hermione. I won't even get into her. How she annoys me. And, well, no, Daniel Radcliffe is doing stuff, but he's very discreet about his doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's very much an actor where I just want to act and go home.
He does a lot of indies.
Yeah, and he does a lot of plays.
Like, he was at the Tonys that one year.
Oh, yeah, he did.
How to be successful in business, or...
Shout out to the two little brown boys from Harry Potter. Pop Pop and the dude from How to Get Away with Murder.
Right. So, yeah.
And we have a nickname for him yet? I feel like all of the one that I could think of right now was mean, so I'm not going to say it.
I think
he does. Okay, so the one from How to Get Away with Murder.
I just call him by his name from the show.
But he does kind of look like... Okay, he does kind of look like Leroy from... The Last Dragon.
So in your head, he's Bruce Leroy?
Yes. Bruce Leroy the second. He looks like him. I'm sorry.
He kind of does.
You can't tell me he doesn't.
Look, when does How to Get Away with Murder come back so I can go back to being disappointed with how conniving he is? I feel like nobody else sees it but me, but he has such a sweet face, but he's so conniving. I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't trust him anymore.
Right. So that feedback was in reference to episode 183, mid-season premiere. So check that episode out if you want to know what Enda meant about us referring to Magnitude as Pop Pop the whole entire show. the next bit of feedback, this is something that happened recently that we will talk about in the show later concerning one person who plays Falcon from the dutiful Virgo.
Nope.
Now can join Deanna in her strong dislike for Anthony Mackie. From now on, whenever D talks trash about Anthony Mackie on Nergasm, I'm going to be like, yup, you right, girl, you right. And she bursts into tears again. So... Yeah,
we're going to talk about that later, but all I got to say is, you're welcome, America. I told you so. I told you so.
And our last bit of feedback is Sharif saying that Nergaz Noir had a crystal ball with Anthony Mackie's future that explains the hate all this time.
Told you guys. Told you.
Do you feel vindicated?
Yes, I do. I feel very...
Can we just say, though, I'll play devil's advocate.
The devil got too many advocates. Don't you do it.
No. Because, I won't get into it, but I will say that Dee's distaste for Anthony Mackie was never because of any statements that he's made or any way that he's been. It's been solely based off of the fact that he got paid for playing Tupac.
I've said it before and I will say it a million times over. Anthony Mackie is the black guy that they call in a movie when they need the main white character to have a black best friend. He was Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter's slave black best friend. He was Captain America's black best friend. Who else was he the black best friend in? Every movie he's in, he's the black best friend. The only movie that he wasn't the black best friend in until recently was the one where he was Tupac, and I'm never going to forgive him for that. And haha, America, you're welcome.
Okay, so that's it for feedback. Now it's time for Nerdtastic News. Take it away, Deanna.
Anyway, in Nerdtastic News, we got two articles from the Nerdgasm Noir G+ community. The first one actually kind of makes me sad considering how Sound of Music and Peter Pan went, but apparently NBC is looking at doing a live Wiz, a live musical of The Wiz. Okay, so I was opposed to it, but on Twitter, @NeilCarter was putting suggestions for cast members, and he said Janelle Monáe would be a good Dorothy, and I actually really agree with that. And some of his other suggestions are really good. And so, here's the thing. If they cast the right people, it could be really, really good. But I'm not getting my hopes up for it, because Peter Pan was awful, The Sound of Music was awful. The Sound of Music, I think we called it The Sound of Sookie or something, because at some point on Twitter... Because Bill was playing... was playing, what's his face? I can't remember his dad's name. Von Trapp. Yeah. Daddy Von Trapp. Bill was playing Daddy Von Trapp, and so all I kept thinking in my head was True Blood. And so it yeah, I may have caused a problem.
It kind of reminds me of one of the funnier jokes on Glee, where Kristen Chenoweth's character said she was going to go on Broadway and make an all-white version of The Wiz. Like, I would not be surprised, guys. Like,
oh, no. Okay. See, my thing is, oh, no, I'm not going to say this because I'm already in trouble. Who are they going to find palatially black enough who can also sing in order to be in this musical?
That's why I'm saying sings. All white version of The Wiz. Like, 2015, we are post-racial.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all. But let's see who they cast. Once I see who they cast, then I'm going to pass judgment.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'm judging a little bit now. But I'll pass final judgment once I see who they cast. Moving on, this is actually good news for a friend of the show. I don't know if you guys remember any of the past episodes where we reviewed Long Hidden, and we reviewed this author's first book, Salsa Nocturna. Daniel Jose Older had a new book come out this month called, this one was called?
Have Resurrection.
Huh?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You were saying it, but then you just sort of, like, trailed off.
Okay, so it's Half Resurrection Blues.
There we go. The Half Resurrection Blues, which is part of an entire series that he's working on called The Bone Street Rumba. Well, apparently, Dreamgirls and Princess and the Frog star Anika Noni Rose is optioning the Bone Street Rumba series for either film or TV. So, congratulations, Daniel! Hopefully, it'll work out. Congratulations on all the money you're about to get if this is successful. Hell, congratulations on all the money you're about to get even if it's not successful. You're still going to get a huge chunk of change. We're proud of you, and hopefully this works out well for you. You want to talk about this week's Black-owned business of the week, JP?
Yeah, so this week's Black-owned business is Imelda's Butter. So it's bath and body products. So you can go and get, like, your body butter, and they have it, like, different scents. One's called, like, Blue Sea, Brown Sugar, Lavender. They also have the sugar scrubs, yeah, sugar scrubs, the body scrub, the body wash, the body butter. They have body mist, but I usually always get, so they have like the spa packages, so I usually always get the spa trio, and I'll give you the body butter, the body wash, and the body scrub. So I think I tried all of the different kinds except the pineapple passion, because that is new. So I tried a deep blue sea, which is not overly strong. It's kind of a very clean scent. The loving lavender. I don't know. I never really liked lavender that much.
Oh, I love lavender.
I don't know. I never really liked lavender in like body butters and stuff like that. I love it in like perfumes and like scented oils, but for some reason, if it's going on my body, I'm just like, for washing or anything like that, I'm just like, okay, this is too much lavender for me. And the sweet brown sugar is good. I really like the brown sugar as a scrub, because it just fills your whole bathroom with the smell of brown sugar.
Ooh.
So it totes like that.
That just made me hungry.
Yeah. So, Yeah, because the reason why I discovered them, because my friend had went to, because I think they do like house host. You can host a party. So somebody was hosting a party with their products, and they was doing demonstrations and stuff like that. So that's how I kind of got hip to this business. So Imelda's Butter.
Cool. I said I was going to buy some of their stuff. I think I want to try the body. I think I may actually do that spa pack where it has the body mist and everything in it, because that sounds good. All right, so this week for this episode, we are going to be doing a review of the Selma movie. So if you haven't seen Selma yet, for the sake of spoilers, I would say if you haven't seen it, you can go ahead and stop listening and then come back once you've heard it. But it's based on historical events.
Yeah,
so I don't know what happens, but just in case. I'm going to say spoiler alert for the movie if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, go ahead and listen and tell us what you think. You can catch us on Twitter at Nerdgasm Noir. If you want to yell at us for anything that you, or if there's anything that we missed that you want to yell at us about, make sure you let us know because we'll talk about it. So, spoiler area for Selma starts now. Overall, I'm going to do an overall thing first just to see, what did you guys think of the movie? Just like, what was your overall opinion of it before we get into detail?
Okay, so my overall opinion was that it was a extraordinarily excellent film. Like, I feel like if a film makes me lose time, I'm so deep into the film that I don't even realize how long I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good film.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Melissa? What did you think?
Fantastic. I feel like it's weird to just say one word, because that was like my general when I finished the movie. I was like, oh my god, this was fantastic. This was really well done. That's what it was for me. Like, the way it looked, you know? Like, before getting into all the other stuff, just the way it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like that, and I rarely notice stuff like that, but I did with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easier to notice stuff like that with historical films, because, you know, you look at something set in today, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I just saw how this looks outside, but, like, this is how now. So, it's nothing new to me. Oh, somebody's... No.
I get what you.
Somebody's on the computer.
I get what you mean, because a lot of history stuff, a lot of stuff that we see in history, we see in black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's weird. It's weird to see this and see it in color. And actually, one of the things I thought the movie was amazing as well. But one of the things I liked about the movie that it wasn't just this is a historical piece. This is what happened in history. Blah blah blah. Blah. It was also like a character drama. Like one, Ava DuVernay did a really, really good job with this movie. Like, it's just, as a film, it's a really, really, really good film. Like, it's edited well, it's paced well, all of that's really, really good. But then also, it's, like I was saying, it's not like a lecture. It's not like, this is Martin Luther King, and this is what happened in Selma, and this is, you know, like, it's actually a character drama. One of the things I liked about it was very respectful of all of the people involved. Like it even talks a little bit about Martin Luther King's affairs, and it's not like, oh, let's sweep this under the rug because it's something that makes him look bad. It was like, okay, well, this is a part of his life, and this is, it caused problems in his marriage, and this and that and the other. But then at the same time, he also turned around and did all these good things. Like, it was very, very respectfully done. I really, really liked it. I really, like, this is the first movie I've been to in a long time where I left the movie and I wasn't, you know me, how I'm so tired of angsty white boy drama. That's one of the things I loved about this movie. It was like, this movie was a movie that was filled with black people. And it was a long time before a lot of white people came into the movie. And a lot of white people had lines in the movie. Like, it was majority black for most of the movie. And they were talking to each other about their own problems. And it was about the civil rights movement. But it wasn't just... it wasn't just we need to fight for justice. It was these are the individual conflicts that are going on during this time. Because it's like John Lewis was having that argument with the other dude from SNCC, James. It was Martin Luther King and his issues with his wife. It was Martin Luther King and his conversations with Lyndon B. Johnson, all of that. Like, it was so well done. It was just so good. So good. I'm so sorry. It was just so good. Oh, I was going to ask another question. Shit. I forgot.
Okay. So here's my question. Do you feel that the movie concentrated too much on Martin Luther King, or do you feel like it was well-rounded in that you got to know a little bit of the other figures that was part of the Selma movie?
I think it concentrated a lot on Martin Luther King. Like, it's like he's supposed to be the viewpoint character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, what am I trying to say? Because you know how, like, in a lot of movies, you'll have the main character, and it's just, it's always about the main character all the time, and it's, what's the main character going to do to fix this, and what are we going to do with the main character, blah, 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 and, like, it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like they were trying to force this hero. Because I'm thinking of it in terms of, not in terms of history, because it is a movie. I'm thinking of it in terms of, like, a movie, like Harry Potter or whatever movie where you have a hero character.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like the fact that even though the Martin Luther King, the figure, was not on the screen, that not all the conversations that he wasn't in view were about him.
Right, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly it. Like, there were a lot of it was interpersonal.
Right. I mean, even though some of the conversations did involve him, but it was more of him as a participant in
the bigger picture.
Yeah. Right.
Melissa, did you have a question?
Oh, I did, but I can save it. I was going to say that I agree, because it was, like, I think it was kind of marketed as kind of a Martin Luther King movie, but because we've never really had one before, as far as major motion picture, but I like the fact that you also got to see, like, I would have liked to see more of other people involved in, like, I would have liked to see more Diane Nash. Like, I thought mm-hmm. like, we didn't really get to know about her at all.
At all, yeah.
But I did like the fact, like, they had the strategy meeting, and it wasn't, you know, Martin had sort of, he took a, I don't even know if he was there, like, that's how backseat he was with it. Everybody was saying, okay, well, you know, what they were trying to figure out where to attack first with the whole voting issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody has their thing, you know, if you, you know, they put, you gotta stop them from putting your name in the paper, you gotta stop them from making you pay so much. And then the one guy was like, well, before you even do that, you have to get vouched, you know, somebody has to vouch for you. So it was like this whole thing. I love watching stuff organize itself. And mm-hmm. so that was a very interesting part for me. And it didn't even really, it, so I would say it was still his, it was still, you know, clearly his movie, but it wasn't about him.
Right.
And it wasn't like a biopic, which is why I feel like they were able to kind of do the tasteful way of bringing up the affairs. I really, because I was afraid they weren't going to, I was like, oh, we're just not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But they were able to do it and incorporate how personal the FBI took that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't
right,
just,
because here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, like, it's not, you got to see Coretta's pain. You got to see her mm-hmm. upset because, motherfucker, you've cheated on me several times, and the FBI is bringing this shit to my door, right?
And so, the like, thing is, you got, I think it was one of the times it wasn't even him It was, they just found a tape of a woman sounding like she was doing something, and just, I mean, they were just like, we gonna do whatever just to upset her.
Right, but like, you got to see her pain, but at the same time, what am I trying to say? It, like I said, it wasn't trying to paint him as a saint. He was a person. Right. And it wasn't that, you know, he did this thing and it was wrong, but nobody was hurt about it. No, Coretta was hurt by it.
Right.
And you got to see her be hurt by it. But then you also got to see her make the decision, like, okay, this is my marriage, and this is for something bigger. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to find a way to work through it. Also, I also like the way that they handled Malcolm X in the situation, too.
Right. But before we get to Malcolm X, I do like how when you go scene to scene, they do that little typewriting, just noting that the FBI has bugged this man's entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't really bring up the fact that the FBI bugged this man's life, following him around, pretty much treating him as a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they like to think, oh, it was love and he brought, no, they treated him as a terrorist. They bugged him, they, everything that he did, they tried to put a stop to it. And I like the fact that each scene kind of marks, keeps in the forefront that, hey, at this time of this man's life, the FBI was watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, and this was the thing I was going to ask, who was your favorite character actor? Because one thing I really loved about this movie was that there were many moments of, oh my god, that guy's here, or she's here, da da da, you know?
I liked Ladisi as Mahalia Jackson. I liked, I think my the one that I liked the most was Ladisi as Mahalia Jackson. I'm gonna go with that one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Cause I was like, who are you calling in the middle of the night right now?
Right? I was like, why would you, this woman is asleep. And then all of a sudden she started singing and I was like, oh my gosh.
It's like, oh, praise, all praise. About to get some church up in here. But anyway, but back to people who they brung in, like the Malcolm X. I like how they handled the Malcolm X. Cause that was at the time that he kind of, not all the way change his viewpoint, but change how he kind of did things. But
yeah, it was going from the by any means necessary to, it was going from by any means necessary to maybe there is more than one way to work this. We don't have to resort to violence. This other way is also working as well, you know?
Right. And I like the fact that they mentioned that he's like, I'm not going to do anything here, but just by me being here, just by showing my face, I'm telling them, if you don't deal with the nonviolent people, you're going to have to deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he kind of changed his viewpoint that it's more than one way, but he knew that white society saw him as the scary, angry Negro. So he was using that as advantage to help out other, the other movements, which I thought was awesome. Because people don't get that, oh, okay, you know, Malcolm X and, you know, MLK, they was butting heads all the time. You know, just because they was butting heads on certain issues doesn't mean that they did not respect each other's movements.
Mm-hmm.
So
also, I enjoyed, like, Because even though the main characters were so great, but then they were surrounded by powerful secondary or supporting characters. Mm-hmm. Lorraine Toussaint didn't have many lines.
Oh my god.
And then there was, of course, there was Bunk. Wendell Pierce.
I love Wendell Pierce. I don't know why. There was also Oprah hitting someone in another black movie.
I'm so mad at myself because that when that purpose. Happened, all I thought was The Color Purple. I was like, Sophia! That's what I said to him. Sophia, no, they're going to put you in jail again. Don't do it.
I feel like they did that on purpose. I feel like Oprah's like, if you're going to put me in this movie, I have to hit somebody. That's just how it's going to happen.
I wanted Lawrence Fishburne to be there, too.
Okay, wait, so, what was I going to say? So, okay, so, first and foremost, the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was going to cry, because as soon as you see those little girls walking down the stairs at the church, you knew what was going to happen.
I did not.
Okay.
As soon as I saw them, I literally said out loud, and the old lady next to me, she just put her hand on my hand, because I just went, oh no! She just put her hand on my hand, like, it's going to be okay. It's just a
movie. I'm going to be honest. I did not see that coming, because I did not think they was going to start with that.
You don't think that they're going to start with it, but as soon as I saw those little girls, I was just like, oh man, no, 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 and sure enough. But I think that was a good way to start the movie, because it kind of sets the tone. Like, it sets the tone for how urgent and how serious and how grave things were. But go ahead, Melissa.
No, I agree. Like, I came from almost opposite. It did like really set the tone. I still think it's not that small of a group of people that were just like, oh, okay, well, we just saw this fancy ceremony, and now these little girls are talking in the church, and oh, this is cool. Wonder what we're doing here. This is cute. And then, boom. And it's just like, okay, just in case you fucking forgot, this is what you're watching.
Right.
Right. This isn't some Lifetime movie or some shit. Like,
this is why this whole thing is going down. They're bombing churches with children in them.
And then you just settle the fuck down for the rest of the movie. Like...
Right, get your box of tissues out. You be like, oh, okay, I guess I gotta get these out early. All right.
I want to warn my parents, but I don't want to take away from it, you know?
Yeah.
I think I feel like the older people in the audience, mm-hmm. No. Like, one of the things about watching the movie is I feel like I was getting to see what, like, my parents and grandparents saw at the time. Like you were saying earlier, it's like I'm used to seeing the stuff in black and white and in history, and it feels up close when you're watching the movie. So it's like you're watching this, and these little unsuspecting girls are talking about what it's like to get baptized, and, you know,
this is what you
gotta worry about with your hair, and then boom, it blows up, and that's that feeling, like that sinking feeling, like it's that grave. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a good way to describe it. I really can't. But it feels up close and in your face.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out that mentioning some of the marching scenes, like the scenes where there is the standoff between the marchers and the police force.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, if they was wearing modern clothes, it would mm-hmm. be Ferguson. Like the way, like how, like especially when they start throwing the canisters and stuff like that, and it would just it. Like, I felt like that was straight, if somebody who was around for the experience and for Ferguson would have got majorly triggered.
Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, that's the first thing I thought of, too. And actually, I like the fact that the, like, the speeches that are in the movie are important because it's not the, I mean, it's still saying Martin Luther King was peaceful. He was a nonviolent protester, but also he kind of digs deeper and he goes, he was nonviolent for this reason.
Right,
he was being nonviolent to show that I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking down the street and these people are reacting in violence. Right. Like,
the whole point was to get the tension broadcast so mm-hmm. they can hold up to a mirror to white America. Because mm-hmm. honestly, I think he wasn't that too much concerned about black America. There was concern, but it was white America that was in denial, that was like, oh, well, you can wait, just like his conversations with LBJ. Oh, well, mm-hmm. you can wait, you know, just back me up on this thing, and, you know, I'll just come back around for your little thing. No, people are literally unable to exercise their own rights right now. Mm-hmm. And they are dying because of it. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for you to decide that it's a good time because it benefits you. No. Mm-hmm. Nope. Sorry. Nope.
And then also the movie shows how the whole point was, because a lot of things that you hear, especially around the Black Lives Matter and all of the protests that are going on now, a lot of the things that you hear people say is, well, why are you disrupting businesses? And I like the fact that this movie points out, like, that's the whole point. We're going to disrupt business. We're going to get in the way. We're going to get in your face with this because it's the only way to get you to see what the hell is going on right now.
Right. Like, the whole point is nonviolent disruption.
Right. It's keyword disruption. Like, it's not, oh, we're going to sit here passively on the sidelines. No, we're going to get here. We're going to get in your way. We're going to get in your face. You have to see us. You have to acknowledge us. You have to know what's going on right now.
And people don't understand it. I'm like, it's not a protest if you don't disrupt mm-hmm. and alarm people. I mean, do you dictionary?
Do you dictionary, bro? Do you even dictionary, bro? But moving on from the movie, which was excellent. By the way, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you go see it. Because look, I said it before, I'm so tired of Black People Struggle movies. That's one of the reasons why it took me so long to go see 12 Years a Slave. That, and also, 12 Years a Slave is beyond triggering. But even if you're tired of Black People Struggle movies, Selma is really, really good. Like, it does a good job of telling the story of being respectful and showing the gravity of it, and it doesn't wrap it up all neatly, like, and then, you know, racism was over or whatever. It's very good at saying that this is a point in history, and this is what happened in this point in history. And it's a really, really good movie. So if you haven't seen it, go see it.
Just before you move on, that I had a more emotional, I was more emotional doing Selma than I was 12 Years a Slave. And I think most of that was the movie itself, the direction and the film photography, but also because of some of the stuff that's happening now. So I mm-hmm. suggest if you go see Selma, get you some tissues. If you're scared about getting triggered, bring somebody with you who can kind of calm you through it. So, but yeah,
but it's definitely a good movie. If you can, you should see it. I've already decided I'm buying it. I almost never decide that when I see a movie, but I've already decided I'm buying it as soon as it's on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. But moving on to what's going on around the movie, for the Oscars, it was only nominated in two categories. What was it? Best Picture and Best Original Song. Which, considering how good this movie is, it should have been nominated for a lot more. Like, the direction was good. Actually, side note. I didn't realize that Brad Pitt was one of the executive producers of this movie, but I should have known because Brad Pitt loves making black people movies, apparently. I don't know. I think...
Some people crochet, some people executive produce movies about black history. I mean, it's...
Well, I don't know. This is purely speculation, so please take this with a grain of salt. But I think it's possibly because, one, Brad Pitt is... He's from, like, Tennessee, isn't he? Where's Brad Pitt from? But he's from one of those states. Oh, God, that's so disrespectful. But, so I think...
He was born in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma? Ooh, Oklahoma's pretty bad. Midwest. Oklahoma is a pretty... It's a pretty bad... Well, most of America is a pretty bad place, but Oklahoma is a pretty bad place. But I also think it's because, you know, him... The Jolie Pitts do have a black daughter.
Oh, so I think he moved to Missouri.
Oh, God.
What kind of movie? Is that lateral?
I think it is lateral. I think it's pretty lateral. But I think it's partially that growing up in the Midwest, close to South, that like he got to see some of that fuck shit. But then also I think it's because he has a black daughter, and I think he's one of the things that the Jolie Pitts do is they're really big on with their kids. They're really big on this like proper parenting thing. I say that judgy, but I don't mean it like that. Because you know how, like, okay, one of the things I actually like this about them is they're very, what am I trying to say? They're letting their kids be their kids and letting them be who they are. Like, there was the whole issue with Zahara's hair, but I feel like it wasn't that they didn't know how to do her hair. I think they know how to do her hair. As a matter of fact, I think Brad Pitt probably does her hair a lot.
She's a little kid. Done hair doesn't last long with little kids.
Right, and also I think it's just they want her to like her hair for what her hair is, because she is a little African child. Like, your hair's not going to be like Pax or Maddox's or John's or... What's John's twin's name? Knox?
No idea.
Is Knox the twin's name? Yeah, your hair's not going to be like theirs. Your hair is going to be like yours, you know? So I don't know. I think this is one of their things that it's like, okay, well... I'm going to make this movie because I want to make movies that my daughter can love. So she doesn't have to see all these white people in these white people movies. But that's purely speculation, like I said, grain of salt. Anyway, the Oscars snubbed Selma. What the fuck? Considering how well that movie was made, I feel like it should have been in a lot more categories. Because it was directed well, it was edited well, costumes were great. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
It was well acted. Like,
yes.
There was no performance that was like, ooh, like, why is this, like, you know what I'm saying?
Motherfucking, look, Tim Roth made me hate him. I hated him.
I never got to hate Stephen Root, but I will never hate Stephen Root.
Like, I know. I know this is just a movie. I know this is just acting, but I wanted to punch Tim Roth in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, the acting was good, everything in this movie was great. I don't understand why it wasn't I do understand, but I don't understand why it wasn't nominated for more things. But Anthony Mackie has an opinion on why it wasn't nominated for more things. Does anybody want to go into that?
Okay, so apparently someone asks Anthony Mackie about the Oscar snub for Selma. So hold on, I want to read it exactly. So this is what he said. So he was saying that Selma was having trouble at the box office and didn't fare well with Oscar voters because people are turned off by the film's subject matter. People are just tired of being bombarded with race right now. So everyone is shying away from certain topics and certain movies. Says the man who's in a movie called Black and White.
Oh God, I saw the trailer for that. That looks...
They're making you choose.
Okay. That looks black and white. Wait, why are there two Kevin Costner Saves Brown People movies, though? Because there's also... Okay.
Yes, right. This is what... Okay, when I was watching Selma, both of those trailers for Kevin Costner Saves Brown People were right.
Did you also
Selma.
Did they also do the trailer for the second that second whatever hotel about the white British people in India?
Yes. Yes,
I
they
so
did.
Care. I'm okay. gonna see that movie. It's
so
the
they did Kevin Costner
exquisite Paragon Hotel.
Okay, Kevin so Costner. Listen here. They this is what irritates me about those movies. We'll get back to Anthony Mackie in a second. I told you so. Anyway, the thing that makes me mad about those movies is I want to go see those movies because of the brown cast members. Like, I want to, especially the McFarlane USA or whatever. That one looks like it's going to be really good. And it's about this track team with Latino track runners. Like, they started this track team. Or whatever. But it's a white savior movie. And it's like, I want to support this movie because these brown actors, and, you know, they deserve to be seen in these movies. But why is there this white guy there? Why is he there? Why? Because if I don't go see this movie because I'm tired of seeing white guys save everyone, then it's, oh, brown people don't bring in movie tickets or whatever. But if I do go see this movie, then it's like, okay, well, we have to have a white lead because that's what people want to see. And that's not it at all. I'm
it's
just
damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Right. Like, can we please stop?
I will say I'm probably part of the problem with the Marigold Hotel movies.
Look, I know why you want to go see the people. I know why you want to go see the Marigold Hotel movie, because I want to see it for the same reason, because it's all my favorite old British actors in one movie. But why are they in India? Why does it have to be?
I don't care where they are. They're all there.
Why couldn't they be happy old British people in Britain? Also, now, what's his name is there? What's his name?
Oh, Richard Gere. Richard Gere out of nowhere. His old
Richard Gere and all them old lady panties dropped instantly. And I was just like, this has potential to be so hilarious. But why?
Harriet Jones is there.
Yeah. So many.
You can't put everybody there. You can't put all the white people there. And I'm not going to see
Why them. Couldn't they be in Britain? Why couldn't this be the exquisite marigold? Or I don't know what flowers grow in Britain.
Okay, what's
They're probably
happen?
Sad flowers. Okay, whatever sad flower grows in Britain. Why couldn't it be that?
If we don't see that particular movie, they say we can't have films with brown people in it. And we can't have films with older British ladies in it.
Why? I'm so bad.
I refuse to see black or white, so there's...
I'm not seeing black or white.
Black or white, no. I am not seeing that bullshit. I'm not seeing
Because here's the thing that gets on my nerves. The thing that got on my nerves the most is your granddaughter's been living with you for how long? Your wife dies, and you don't know how to do the little black child's hair at all. At all. Your wife took the time to learn how to do her granddaughter's hair, but you didn't. Also, you won't let her be around her... Why won't you let her be around her black family?
They're too black.
I'm sorry. It's just, I can't with that movie. I really can't. Anyway, back to Anthony Mackie. I told you so.
So here's some more...
I will play devil's advocate.
Wait. Yeah. Let's just read some more quotes.
There's no more.
Here's some more quotes from Mackie. If you look at all the movies and actors that are nominated, they all gave damn good performances. Me specifically, if that's something I want, I have to step my game up. I have to do better movies and have to act better. They said that about Denzel Washington. They said they have no foreign value. If we're not financing and doing our own stories, we can't expect to see ourselves come award season. And then he goes into this... tirade about dreadlocks, and that, you know, his nephew wanted dreadlocks, and he told him you can't wear dreadlocks because, you know, someone's going to think you are a criminal because they always see criminal with, like, I don't know what he was trying to say. All I know is it boils down to Anthony Mackie never talk about race in an interview ever again, because you have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Told you, America. I told you. Okay, first and foremost, he said if we don't make our own movies and tell our own stories, we're not going to be, we can't expect to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
this movie, Selma,
uh-huh,
was written and directed by a black woman.
Uh-huh.
It was produced by Oprah's production company.
Uh-huh.
And I think also, doesn't Ava DuVernay have a production company as well? That isn't Pathé hers, or is that somebody else? No, I think Pathé might be Brad. I don't know. But, so yeah, it's a story written, directed, and produced by us telling our story, and it was still snubbed. So please tell me, Anthony Mackie.
And she's also, I think she's either the founder or, like, a big part of a firm, which is an organization that does a really big push for African-American.
You're too low, Melissa. Speak up.
Oh, she's a big part of, if not the founder of, this group called A Firm, which does a big push for African-American made movies to be in major motion, like, theaters.
You're still low.
How am I still low?
I don't know. Put your face up to the microphone.
And you hear me now?
Yes.
Because you said it like you couldn't really hear me, though.
Okay, wait. You sound better now. Go.
Okay, so she's a part of this really big group called Affirm that does a big push to put African-American made films out into more theaters. Awesome.
Okay, so I want to know, since Anthony Mackie says that should work, how come it didn't work? Someone please ask Anthony Mackie.
Okay, here's some. Okay, one, they didn't put Selma in a lot of movie theaters. I can tell you that right now.
I was actually shocked that it was out by me.
Yeah. And two, considering all the people who nominate movies are mostly all old white guys, and the people who they nominate, or wait, who gets into the Academy? Is just the winners? Okay, so if just the winners get into the Academy to nominate more people.
No, and you know what this is? This is those goddamn vouchers. That's what this is. That's what this is. You got to get a voucher. We only got like four. We got Denzel Washington, Halle Berry, we got Jamie Foxx.
That's it.
Who else? Lupita.
That's
we
it.
Got four vouchers.
Four vouchers. That's it. So you better hope that they're the only four that's voting on one category for one black movie, and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's 100 vouchers to our little puny little four. So who do you think is going to win? Is it the movie that makes the person as a white male uncomfortable because they know they probably hold some racial bias? Or is it the movie about sniping some brown people?
Ugh.
Guess it's the movie about sniping some brown people.
Before Mackie went on to finish his quotes about dreadlocks and such, I was going to play the devil's advocate. And I feel as though I had a good point with this. I'm going to do it anyway. Maybe he meant objectively that, you know, white people don't like to confront the issue of race and history. And, you know, not being on the right side of history for the majority of the part. And so it made them uncomfortable, and that's why.
You tried it.
I did. I felt real proud of that. But then he talked about his cousin and the dreadlocks. And also, he was in Night Catches Us, which I haven't seen yet, but it was like a black power film. And how do you go from that? Like, was the Black Panther the villain?
I'll tell you why.
Movie?
He played Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter's slave black best friend. That's how. Don't trust Anthony Mackie.
He said he has to do better movies. So
I've been saying that for a while.
Oh, and I also wanted to... okay, so the thing that I talked about before is not actually called A Firm. It just looks like the word A Firm because there's no I. It's AFFRM. And the site is AFFRM.com, African American Film Festival Releasing Movement. which might, I don't know if he was looking for that or not, maybe. I don't know.
Put it, people are looking for it, but yeah, yeah, so Anthony Mackie.
I don't know if Anthony Mackie knew about it, though. Anthony Mackie, I don't know if he knew.
Somebody give that to Anthony Mackie.
So Mel, why don't you tweet it out?
To Anthony Mackie.
Dear Anthony Mackie.
But yeah, so I don't know. Like in all honesty, it shouldn't have been snubbed. Also, shout out to Enda for pointing out more vouchers that we have as Black people in the Oscars. We have Forrest Whitaker, Lou Gossett Jr., Monique. I forgot she won for Precious. Octavia Spencer,
who may win for Black or White.
Oh,
I don't know.
So we have 10 now. 10 to probably. See, I was nice saying 100, but it's probably more like 10,000 to 10. So,
well, here, the director for 12 Years a Slave.
Okay, 10,000 to 11.
Ooh, that
But
guy.
I think we also may have Brad Pitt, you guys.
Okay, 10,000 to 12.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. This is not the 90s. We are not doing that.
Doing what?
What was that guy's name, though? The director for 12 Years a Slave? Because that guy is handsome. That's all I'm saying.
The director from... Are you talking about the same guy? The British guy.
British guy. What is that dude's name? I forgot.
Also, actually, going back to Selma.
Eve McQueen.
His name David Oyelowo.
I'm done.
Every time I try to say something, Melissa talks. I think David Oyelowo does a really good job of not doing an impersonation of Martin Luther King, but actually, like, being the character, you know? Steve McQueen, that's the director of 12 Years a Slave's name.
I kept saying his name over and over again.
Yeah, he's but...
Okay, but so yeah. Enda gave us another one. So, that's 13. Oh, wait. She gave us two more.
Didn't
so
Hattie McDaniels, did she say that? Can we still count her?
We do kind of got to count 3-6 Mafia. There, that's like three.
No, we don't. Not really, though.
Okay, we have 18. To? So, 10,000 to 18.
They're not even popular anymore.
I forgot about 3-6 Mafia. It is hard out here for a pimp.
I was very annoyed. I don't even care how it sounds. I was very annoyed that was the song. Like, out of all the shit that we have done.
You know what? I appreciate it.
Okay,
I feel like... It's one of two things. It's either the Oscars recognized that the soundtrack wasn't what they were used to, but it was still good in its own right for the movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is what I would hope. But in all actuality, it's like, haha, funny Black people, let's give them an award because they amused us, you know?
Right. Okay, so in the chat room, Brother JR Twitter account, woohoo! Here's the thing, while Mackie is right about Black folks making our own stuff, that doesn't mean that Hollywood and Academy should not be critiqued and called out. Thank you.
Also, we did Selma with our own stuff and it still got snubbed. Like, shut the fuck up, Anthony Mackie. Shut up. All right. Okay, I'm good. Anyway, is there anything else we want to talk about before we go, ladies?
Larry Wilmore... Debuted. I'm sure that's a word. That's how you say it.
Debuted.
The Nightly Show last night. He replaced Stephen Colbert, who will be on David Letterman or whatever. David Letterman.
No, you went.
Anyway, it premiered last night. I found it funny. So
I may have to catch that.
I love Larry Wilmore.
He's funny. And he was funny on The Daily Show, too, so I'm gonna have to see.
He pretty much goes there in the first segment, so just prepare for that. And because I feel like you guys were doing this shit on purpose, but some of us watched Light Girls last night.
Why would you do that? Okay, wait. Do you want to do a post-noir on Light Girls?
I only watched, like, the last hour, so we'll be sure.
Okay, when don't we do this? When don't we do this? Why don't we all watch Light Girls?
Nope.
And then do...
I'm sorry.
So rude.
I'm sorry.
Look, don't play with me. I will put it on the goddamn outline notes. Note lines. Whatever we want to call it.
Oh, God. I Can we not? That's all I'm asking.
I mean, Melissa, do you want to talk about the storm?
I don't have much to say about it. Like, it was not great.
So,
I heard everybody's favorite colorless person was in it, though.
Oh, Soledad?
No, Raven Simone.
Oh, girl.
Okay, y'all want to do this now or y'all want to do this in a post?
Okay, wait, we're going to have to do a post noir. We're going to have, because you're going to tell us about it, because I'm not.
Oh my God, so this means do I have to watch it to make fun of it?
No, I'll give you some salient points. I still have to watch the first hour, but the last hour gave me just about all I needed.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up this episode of Nerdgasm Noir. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nerdgasm Noir. You can also follow us ladies individually on Twitter as well. You can check out Jamie at The Way of the Id, JP at Isidus, Kia at The Last Storm, Melissa at Black Girl Geeky, and me at Nani Cool J. Thank you for listening, and make sure you stick around for the post-noir.